Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
He has to win a Stanley Cup. Like, if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup, things are a lot different. Money's not different. Fame's not different. But in his heart, it'll be different. If he were to go on and leave the Edmonton Oilers, being a former player, really, I wouldn't hate him. Like, you have the right. You really do. It would crush me. It would crush Oilers fans. I would not be somebody who hates him. I would end up being pretty f-ing disgusted, though, if he doesn't tell them. Because he knows if he's going to leave. Probably in the next month or so, right? If he knows, he has to tell him and they have to trade him and try to get something. It's disgusting to say it. I've never really felt this way. This loss is just, maybe it's just the heartbreak of it all and like how fresh it is, but I've never felt like he was going to leave. And then seeing him last night, it's just like, I'm not going to be able to do it here and I got to get a cup.
Ryan Whitney on Connor McDavid. It is a really tough sell for me to say, I'm not going to be able to do it here. When you've made it to Game 7 and Game 6 of the Cup Final. Now, maybe most of the reason they're there is because of him and Draisaitl, of course.
Sure, of course.
But I'm never going to be able to do it here. I don't know. Get a goalie. You should be okay. Get a goalie.
He did sound very, I mean, it's...
He's dejected.
He's dejected.
Mad.
It's the night you lose the game, but he you might get some honesty there, too, where he said he's using expletives and saying we keep banging our heads against the wall, trying to do the same thing over and over. And like he's just, I don't know. Again, I'm not going to judge him based on what he said after the loss an hour later, but I don't think it's crazy for him to look around and say, yeah, we're only here because of me and Leon.
Is it crazy for Josh to say the same thing?
No. No, it's not.
We're only here because of me? He doesn't say that.
He doesn't.
But let's
quarterback though, you get that way more often. Because any quarterback would say that. Burrow would say that. Anybody would say that and say, yeah, of course. Of course you're right. Whereas in hockey, you don't get that as much. Right? Like you don't get, you know, that same mentality from guys. And I don't know. He could think that. He could look and say, like, how come you haven't been able to give me a good goaltender in the whole 10 years I've been here? How come you haven't been able to give me a solid blue line until maybe this year? You could argue they finally did that. Like, how come we weren't deep as a team until this go right? Like, it's not like it's just the last 2 years. Like, it took them 8 years to surround him with, like, a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Took a while. So, I don't know. There's also going back to lottery night 2015. How do you feel about being there in the first place?
Yeah, but that doesn't really make any difference.
Well, I mean, if it's always been in him that, you know, I didn't really want to be here at the start, and now I gave it a decade. I gave it my all, and I gave that organization everything, and I was there for the prime of my career. But, all right, I gave you a decade. I'm not giving you another decade. It could be. I mean, I'm kind of rooting for it. I'm rooting for him to leave. For him to leave.
And go to Toronto?
Maybe not. Yeah, I don't know if I love that idea, but but just for the curiosity of it, for the storyline of it. I mean, hey, Paul calling last segment about, you know, the ratings being down and being a regional sport. I mean, yesterday they spent some time on the rings debate. If you really want the sport to grow in interest, you know what you need to have happen. You need him to pull a Kevin Durant. You need him to go to Florida.
Oh God,
that's what you need. You need McDavid. Really, I'm serious. You want the sport to be as interesting as possible. Connor McDavid should go to Florida. Go ring chase.
Sit under the cap space.
And you'll become a villain. Right? You'll become a huge... I mean, the cap's going up to like 100 and something million the next year.
I don't know about a villain, but it would be thought of less. The thing I would
You don't think he'd be a huge villain if that happened? On the level of LeBron in Miami or Durant in Golden State? Hockey's never had anything like that.
He'd be a villain in Edmonton, possibly, but... I don't know.
It would be you couldn't do it. You had to join the... You couldn't beat him, so you joined him, huh?
Maybe that's your take. I mean,
No, I think people would say that. For sure they would. People would root against him if he went to Florida to create the NHL's first ever super team.
I mean, Florida's pretty close to a super team now.
That's
Florida's really close to a super team.
Right.
They get everybody, and they're all going to stay together. They got Marchand at the deadline.
Yeah.
You know, and like, right. He was amazing for them. The thing I would say about McDavid, you know, and this idea that he's going to leave, rings culture. You're saying like rings culture. Ryan Whitney there in that clip from Spittin' Chicklets, that's rings culture. Guys are more likely to want to leave because they know I will be judged on whether or not I get a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I want one, but my legacy, if I'm done, the 24-hour sports network world, the thing that will be said about me if I don't win one is that I didn't win one. It'll be the entire identity. I mean, we were teetering on the edge of this for Ovechkin, and then he got it, and it was over. And there is no real great player in the NHL that this exists for. Meanwhile, we mentioned this yesterday, ESPN's Mike Greenberg on their show, Get Up, hit the top athletes that need a ring. It was McDavid 1, Allen 2, and Lamar 3. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there's any reason to think that the Bills or the Ravens can't get it done. Are they any different than the Oilers? The Bills or the Ravens? Are they different? They
I
have
think
one of the best players.
They do.
And who's beating the Oilers? In both cases, twice now, it's Florida. And before that, it's Tampa, I guess. I mean, they get knocked out before. The last two seasons are the first years in the Cup Final.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would just ask this to anybody that wants to make the point that he thinks he can't get it done there. Are the Oilers... Instead, I'll ask it this way. How are the Oilers different from the Bills? How are the Oilers different from the Ravens? Is it that there's no Mahomes and Reed combo standing in their way?
Well, there is, but it's in the other conference, right?
Well, maybe.
It's Florida.
It's only been the last 2 years. Only 2 years out of, right. You said it's 8 years. It's only the last 2 years.
Yep.
Before that, what's standing in their way?
Before that, it was themselves.
Right. Their team wasn't good enough.
They missed the playoffs 4 of the first 5 years that he was in Edmonton. Why was that? It wasn't because, right, there was a boogeyman in your way. It was because Peter Chiarelli was your GM, and he signed Milan Lucic to $100 million when he was 34 years old. Like, your team made terrible decision after terrible decision, and it took them a decade almost to figure out how to put, like, a really good team around you. And it is a really good team, but it's not as good as the team on the other side. And now, like, couldn't that be the source of it? Couldn't that be the source of it for him? Hey, like, we keep banging our head against the wall trying the same thing over and over. Maybe he doesn't think Edmonton, the way they're constructed, would beat that Florida team. You're not going to necessarily play them every year, but styles make fights, and that Panther team drags you into a different style. They won 13 of 15 games before that series started.
Mm-hmm.
And then they trailed for all but, what, 30 minutes of the series? Like, he might feel like this combo of players is not beating that Panther team. Like, this, the way that we're constructed right now as a team, that's not doing it.
Who is?
I mean,
Where should he go?
He should go to, I mean, I wouldn't say Toronto. Should he go to Tampa? Tampa would be better with him than Edmonton is right now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could find a list of teams. Maybe it's not a long list, but this team with McDavid versus the Oilers with McDavid, I think you could find your way to a number of teams that you could say, I like that better.
Team X.
Sure. Tampa is one that comes to mind. Maybe you would say someone would say Toronto would come to mind. I might not say that, but the Hurricanes, maybe.
Mm, I don't know.
Who I still can't believe are Stanley Cup favorites.
How many?
Again,
let's play the game again. Just comparing McDavid and Allen. How many NFL teams would you say that about Josh Allen? You out there? How many would you say that about? If we're gonna say if McDavid went somewhere else, they'd be just as good, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think Allen's ever going to get to that point. I really don't. I don't think he's going to force his way out. And there's really not even a suggestion that McDavid will do that. Steve Levy suggested it. Ryan Whitney here is just talking about the look on his face. And, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent. They could have won the cup and he could decide he wants to leave and do something else.
That's why, though, it's coming up. I mean, Allen never and may never get 1 year away from being able to leave. Right?
Right.
That never happened for him.
No, but in football, you just, you know, force a trade. If you feel like you have to.
True. But it'll be kind of what I said about Tuck. If you get to the start of the season and he's unsigned, like I think it becomes a bigger and bigger and bigger story about whether he'll stay. I disagree with Whitney, by the way. I think if you're Edmonton and you don't know if he's going to stay, or you even might think
try to win the cup.
Yeah, or even if you think it's more likely that he'll leave, there is no world I ever trade him for anything.
No way.
I will try to win the cup, and I will take that until the last second of July 30th, 2026. But I am never moving that player because I'll never replace it.
No,
never, ever get it again.
What they should do, of course, is trade everything in the future possible, load up, try to build their own super team, and try to win it in the last year.
Right.
And maybe he stays. Or if he's going to leave, like, yes.
I'll move heaven and earth. I'll trade 5 first-round picks if I need to get to build a team around him that he thinks is worth staying for, if he didn't want to stay in the
first place.
Even
if he doesn't think it's worth staying for, you take one kick at it because you have him.
Right. But him, I would never, like... People are going to compare it to the Gretzky trade, right? Like, oh, they traded Gretzky. But I just, in today's world, there's no way you ever move him in a million years. And I don't think they would anyway.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-552-550. The Ravens get Jaire Alexander. Sal's coming up in about 15 minutes to run through training camp and, you know, maybe anything we can pull from the schedule and what they're going to do, their timeline. Training camp starts July 23rd. The Ravens get Jaire Alexander, which is not surprising. And no. I saw a little bit of uh-oh out there because he's definitely good when he's healthy.
He's elite when he's healthy.
Yes, definitely a heck of a player, but he's never healthy. And he goes to Baltimore. He reunites with Lamar Jackson. They played together in high school, I believe.
Okay.
So they've known each other for quite some time, and he kind of campaigned for Jaire Alexander. They get him. All right, boom. Oh, sorry, they played in college together. Went to Louisville together. Maybe even all the way back to high school, but Louisville together.
Okay.
So last week I was asked a question at our Wayland fundraiser. A lot of Bills fans there raising money for the 100 Holes, which is a week from today. And just talking to somebody, one of the questions I got was, what do you worry about with the Bills? What's the thing that worries you?
Mm-hmm.
My answer is a bit of a cop-out, but I'll tell you what it was. I said I worry about the competition. Mm-hmm. Because the Bills are going to be good. There's no doubt about it. You know, you could say you worry about health. Everybody's going to worry about health.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Clark yesterday tweeted, if the Ravens stay healthy, they're going to win the whole thing.
Yep.
Maybe that's right. Maybe if the Bills stay healthy, they win the whole thing. Maybe if the Chiefs, maybe if the Eagles,
anybody.
Commanders, Lions, right? Health is important. But the thing I worry about with the Bills, there's really, like I said, it's a cop-out. My answer is the competition. Because the Bills are buttoned up. They're a good operation. They re-sign their own ahead of time. They save money that way. They identify players. They've got a good culture. They've got like so many things going for them that there's not any debate that they're a top-class organization and they're great.
Right.
But the question becomes, are they in any one year going to be greater than their opposition? And not like Jaire Alexander puts them over the top, but the Bills had a high-scoring offense last year and kind of, you know, Brandon Bean came on and puffed his chest like, we're the best offense in football. You know, that depends on how you look at it. If you look at just points, like they were number two. If you include the playoffs, they scored more than the Eagles. That's something he said that day. Baltimore's offense was like number one DVOA, number one in success rate, number one in a lot of different things. Like Baltimore's
EPA
offense,
per play and
Baltimore's offense was absolutely wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about the competition. I worry about the way that these teams get after it and go after it. And can the Bills have enough premier players in the big spots to win? We went yesterday over there, the NFL's top 100. It's Josh. He doesn't have a Dry's idol. Lamar has, you want to say it's Derrick Henry. Lamar has, you want to say it's Mark Andrews, who's been one of the best tight ends, but of course let them down in that moment. Lamar has Kyle Hamilton. Lamar has a number of these guys that are thought of is the key here, as premier players at their position. You want to do that with Mahomes? He's got them too. You want to do that with the Eagles? They've got eight of them.
Yep.
And with the Bills, they have a great team, without a doubt. But do they have enough great players? is the thing I wonder. And maybe this draft class produces some, or maybe, you know, a free agent kind of pops. But the thing I worry about with them is, do they have enough great players not named Josh Allen to lift them? And to a point, they have this organizational identity at the moment where it's all about how the sum of the parts and no one's really above anybody else except for the quarterback. The quarterback's the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my worry about them. I don't worry about any one position group, really. I don't worry about the receivers too much. I don't worry about their safeties too much. I would be happier if there was, you know, a top 70 player in the NFL at one of those positions. So my answer is I worry about the competition because I watch the other teams and see how they build. I watch how the Bills build. And I thought, like, coming into this offseason, we were going to be looking for a blue chipper. And established one did not arrive.
No.
Maybe they find one. If they find one, you know, bam, mission accomplished. If Max Hairston is that, then, you know, zip my mouth shut. Like, mission accomplished. That's a long way to answer the question. Like, what worries you about the Bills? The competition.
Yeah. Well, the names also to mention for that probably aren't the rookies, right? They're the guys that are going into year two, going into year three, going into year four.
Coleman.
That's why we bring up Coleman and Kincaid earlier.
Cole Bishop, Kincaid.
Sure.
Right. Somebody to become great.
And maybe even a group of those. Like, if Kincaid, imagine if Kincaid becomes like a top five tight end this year. Like, he's in all pro conversations. Like, everything just works the way you want it to. Like, that'll make everyone feel more comfortable about certain situations, I think. Late in games, playoff games. I might even narrow it more down to Baltimore specifically for me.
Is that who you worry about?
Yeah. I'm not worried. Because there's not much I'm really worried about with the Bills. Not much. The Ravens, I just look at their roster, the way it's constructed. I look at the way Jackson has played for the last 2 years, and they were statistically, I think most would agree that, like, dive into the numbers, that they were the best rush attack in NFL history last year, and their quarterback threw for 41 touchdowns on top of that, that I think they're a pretty flawless football team. But you got them to not play a clean game when you played them in the playoffs.
They had a rough
day.
And
the Bills played clean. And
the Bills played clean all year.
To their credit, right, they played clean all year. But I guess my biggest worry is that you meet that team again. And I don't even really care where the game is. You play that team again, and either you don't play a completely clean game or they don't put the ball on the ground for you. And it's even. And it's just, nope, the turnovers aren't going to play a factor today. It's just going to be mano-a-mano, toe-to-toe, we're going at it, Bills and Ravens. And nobody's making big mistakes. It's just about how good are your players and how good are our players. And for that, I get a little bit worried. Kind of because of the point you made. Like, I think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, are the two best quarterbacks in football right now, and I don't think much separates them at all. So then it becomes, all right, who else is making the biggest differences? And there's just a couple of guys on Baltimore that I would be worried about. Again, you know, maybe you would say, though, that's a faulty way of looking at this because you're assuming the Ravens will be able to play as clean a game as the Bills do. And maybe I should give them more credit for that. Like, they do play offense, at least they did last year, to play clean. Right? Like, the way they threw the ball on screens and they ran the ball more than they did before. Rather than just chucking the ball around downfield like they had done, that style is going to give you less turnovers, is going to give you less mistakes. But I still just think that's a tough thing to bank on year in and year out, is I'm going to play the clean game and they're not going to. Because that was the difference in the playoff game. There's the biggest difference in the playoff game. So That's really only true for me, though, of the Ravens. I do feel like the Bills, with any other team in this conference, and I even kind of feel this way about Kansas City right now, that they could just line up one-on-one, and I feel like they could win. They're the better team. But I'm really skeptical of that when it comes to Baltimore. I feel like you might have to have advantages. Yeah, might have to have just a little bit of luck on your side. Maybe you have to be at home to kind of get through them.
Maybe Joey Bosa can be, you know,
he could be one. He could be that player.
Could rediscover health.
Rediscover health.
That might be it.
Yeah.
803-0550. Training camp on July 23rd. Getting to it. A month and 4 days. Sal Capaccio coming up at the bottom of the hour. Kevin Cole of the Unexpected Points podcast and Substack, as we get to his series. He does this every year. It's a really cool series about like the best quarterbacks of all time. That includes active and guys that didn't win Super Bowls, where they should appropriately slot in. So we'll talk about it with him, where he had Josh Allen ranked, because he did just come out in his latest rankings, Allen, as he counts down from 50 to 1. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring if you'd like. 803-0550 on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal's everywhere. Well, Sal's at minicamp. Sal's at your golf. Yeah, I saw Sal. I saw him at T-ball.
Wait a minute. The thing you were at for why you couldn't golf, yep. Sal was at, but he also golfed?
Apparently. No one's able to do more things at one time than Sal. He's the man of all trades.
He might just own a helicopter and we don't know it.
Get to the chopper!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Mr. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. What's he doing today? Joining us, playing in a charity golf tournament. Doing it all. What's up, Sal?
Jeremy, I mean, it's car right now. It's not the helicopter.
Oh, okay.
Charity golf. It's for Eric Wood, the Evan Wood Fund over at Oshai Children's Hospital. Always glad to be a part of that. I MC for their post-golf event. Play out there. It's in Batavia. And then, yeah, I'll be doing that. And then I'll be at Shoshone tonight for baseball, right?
Very nice.
Got to be everywhere for a baseball game. But, yeah, it's a great event and love being out there. I got Josh Reed with me from TL4, our buddy in the car. He's part of the team. We play out there, and it's a really good time. Now, listen, now just because I said Josh and I are playing, don't go lining the streets of Batavia hoping to see some stars, you know, running down the street and, you know, asking for autographs, everybody. But, no, we're going out there to play, and it's nice. Oh, wow, we saw a deer on the 90. You know the way it is coming out here.
Well, as you're driving to Batavia, does it feel like a little bit of a practice drive out to St. John Fisher?
Yeah, it does, actually, a little bit. I actually had to come out this way a couple weeks ago, and I thought that. I'm like, man, I'm going to be making this drive a lot coming up soon. You know, sometimes you go back and forth. We stay in the dorms a lot, and, you know, you guys are out there. But that's going to be here before you know it. And, you know, we're just, 5 weeks away, a little over that, maybe, around there. And I looked at the schedule. It's funny. Yesterday, a lot of people said to me when the schedule came out, boy, they just shorter and shorter. Like, actually, it's the exact same number of practices the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They have 11 practices. One is closed to the public. It's open to the media. So 11 practices, 10 open to the public, and then they're done. 2.5 weeks. So it shortened up 2 years ago, but it's been the same ever since. 23, 24, and now 25.
Did it used to be that after the first preseason game, they would go back to camp, and now basically when the preseason begins, camp is over?
Yes. In fact, I remember, I got to go back now. And again, we're going back probably even pre-COVID, but when they had 4 preseason games, and we would play, I remember once or twice, because I'm on the team, we would take off from Rochester for a preseason game or something like that. Because I think that happened once or twice, if I remember correctly. But either way, it might have been back in the rec days. But yes, to answer your question, they would go back for maybe 3 days after the first preseason game. And then before the second preseason game, they would break camp. Not anymore. This is, you go up to August 7th. First preseason game is at home on the 9th, but the 7th is the last day. And then they're back. And I do think maybe 3 preseason games plays a part of that, right? Because now you only have 3 games. It's not as much of a ramp up. And you want to get back and start working on what you need to work on and finalizing your roster over the next few weeks.
Did anyone else hear the term 4 preseason games and have like a shiver run down their spine?
Yep.
Like, oh my, we used to do that.
We weren't old enough to remember 6 preseason
games. Oh my goodness.
6. I mean, I remember the couple of times, or was it only the one time in my lifetime? The Bills are in the Hall of Fame game, and it was 5, and that was just like...
That's a lot.
It's a third of the games you play in the regular season.
I was just looking up the Hall of Fame game. Do you know who it is this year? It's the Chargers and Lions, and that'll be July 31st, and they report to camp on the 16th. Chargers veterans on July 16th.
July 31st is the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah.
July 31st, the Hall of Fame game.
I don't know if I ever remember it being in July or that early.
There you go.
Do you think, Sal, that there will be any talk this this coming month about when this will be, you know, how training camp will be in the future for the Bills once the new stadium opens, as they've been going kind of year by year, haven't they, with whether they'll be at St. John Fisher or not? And this is actually a question I feel like we always bring up since McDermott got here, and there was always the talk of whether he actually even liked going away for it, and he has said repeatedly he has. But I don't know. Do you think that the future is cloudy for where they'll be at training camp?
You know, it's funny you say that, because it has been a talk for a long time. And I would tell you, as I sit here today, I don't know this for sure. Like, it's not like reporting information, but I'm pretty confident they'll be there next year because of just the way the stadium will be opening next year. And you'll just, you know, what's that look like with construction still going on in the summer and making sure that you have enough room and space? I think after that, anything could happen. But I do believe Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean when they say that they value going away. Because what's funny is we kind of thought that that was just like saying that to say that as part of the organization when they first got the jobs. But guys, since then, they've signed multiple extensions to go back to St. John Fisher. And even before the stadium stuff came. And I do think they find a lot of value in it. Well, what they find value in is the camaraderie. It's having your one spot where everybody is together for meetings, for meals, for getting together, for the camaraderie at night or in the morning or whatever that happens. And I do think that's important to them. I also think it's important to remember there is a business side to all of this, right? I mean, when Russ Brannon started St. John Fisher training camps back in 2000, it was a good idea to move it, you know, east of Buffalo and expand that fan base, and they really did. And it's really been great for them, and Fisher's been great for them. But I think now, even, you know, after years and multiple people kind of being in charge, staying with St. John Fisher, partly because they see the value in it from the business standpoint. It does matter to have that that fan base. Look, the Bills are actually one of not as many teams who go away these days. Most teams don't go away these days. They stay at their facility, and the Bills could do that because of what they have at their facility. I think that, though, they really enjoy the camaraderie and bringing it to the fans, and that would change a little bit on how it would look at training camp at in Buffalo and Orchard Park. So, look, I think anything's on the table after the new stadium is built, but I think that they really – this is a model that they prefer.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. Bills training camp dates are out. It'll be July 23rd that they roll off to St. John Fisher. Sal, one thing, there was a story, we were talking to Marcel Louis-Jacques yesterday about the Dolphins, and Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere in the along the way, the Dolphins are moving the times of their practices to earlier in the morning, and that might be because of the heat. The Bills used to practice at different times and then move things to earlier in the morning, and Sal, is this sports science? Is it personal preference? The Bills consistently keeping these morning practices at St. John Fisher for the last, what, 5 years, 6 years? It's been a while where the schedule has remained fairly consistent.
I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe Josh can answer. He's sitting next to me. Do you remember Sean McDermott ever having non-morning practices? It consistently, he's always in morning, right? I think so. Josh even said, I think you have to go back to the Rex days for them to have the later practices. But I think since Sean has been here, and yes, I will tell you, it's partly sports science for sure. They're very big into that. But it's also because they just don't want their guys in the heat of the July, August, you know, St. John Fisher for sure. So I think all of that is baked into it. But since Sean McDermott's been here, I think we can go back, I guess, to 17 and 18 and check it out. But it's been fairly consistent, guys. There have been morning practices, and everything just kind of falls routine. And it really works for you get Sean McDermott or Joe Brady or Bobby Babich at 9 a.m. Right? You get to a couple players and then practice at 9:45. Their media is done in the morning. They get on the field. They're done at noon and then everything's done. And like they have the rest of the day to do all their meetings, have all their film work, have all of their weightlifting and all that. And it really works out. So I think they like the routine of it. I do think sports science plays into it, but I also think it's, you know, the heat and you know what, you want to make sure you stay with the health and safety of the players.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. So Sal, when we get to training camp, What do you feel like will be the biggest story when we arrive at camp? And do you have a prediction of what maybe once camp begins, what is something that we'll be focusing on?
I think wide receiver is going to be a big one because of A, the competition that we've seen brought in, B, because of what happened, you know, after the draft on WGR and Bean, and obviously with you guys. I think that's going to become a storyline. It's probably going to be focused on by Hard Knocks. I think Hard Knocks itself is going to be a storyline once we get there. from our standpoint, from the media, we're going to be watching and looking, what are they filming? What are they talking about? Oh, my gosh, let's watch that first episode, see where that is. So that's probably going to be a storyline. And then, of course, guys, I mean, just the new players on defense, you know, you go right to corner and Max Harrison and, you know, competing. I think Tre'Davious White starts, like, my opinion is, I said this on Always Game Day Buffalo, Matt Bovin this week. Like, I think Tre'Davious White starts off as your corner two to start, and you give every bit of runway to Max Harrison to win the job, but he's got to win the job. I don't think you just hand it to him. I think Tre'Davious White, it's not his job to lose. I think it's Max Harrison's job to win, if that kind of makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. It's a little over a month away to get to free agency. Sorry, not free agency. I'm thinking of NHL now. To get to training camp. Before that, we'll do NHL free agency. Sal, a thought on Jair Alexander? I think this is, you know, we talked about him when he was let go by the Packers, and I think it's a nice move for the Ravens. It's the kind of move the Bills might have made in a different offseason, because Jordan Schultz reported the two sides had been in contact. But once the offseason was kind of complete, like, I didn't see Jair Alexander as a realistic possibility for the Bills. So I don't think they missed out here. I just think that they ultimately took a different path.
I remember coming out with you guys the day it happened, and I said, I think Jair Alexander could be a perfect Baltimore Raven, but I don't know if they'd be interested. And certainly they were, because he is. He's a perfect Baltimore Raven. That's the way he plays. That's kind of that attitude of the Ravens, that type of player, right? But at the same time, that's an area they haven't been able to kind of shore up, like, at that one corner spot. And if he could stay healthy, he is a difference maker, and that could really help them on the defensive side and allow them to do even more with Kyle Hamilton and some of the other guys they have on defense. I mean, it's all about staying healthy. And look, $6 million, whatever. I mean, I don't know what the actual money is for cap hit. Maybe that's it. I mean, that's a nice deal for him, right? So even if the Bills were interested, you know, at this point, I don't think they could have that kind of money to be able to pay him to bring him in on a one-year deal. But after Jordan Schultz said the Bills had looked into trading for him and that didn't happen, the Bills go out and sign Tre'Davious White. They sign Dane Jackson. They draft Max Harrison. I think, to me, that just means that, like, you're set with what you have, and you're not going to go revisit that.
Sal Capaccio. All right, Sal, good luck. Hit him straight. Last time we played in a scramble together, we did all right. Bring your A game.
It's going to be windy.
Yeah, it's going to be windy.
It's going to be windy today. Listen, it's fine. It's Eric Woods' tournament to lose. Eric's like a scratch golfer. I mean, you know, his tournament to lose. And I know it every year. I'm like, dude, you can't win your own tournament, right? I mean, but, you know, he's always right up there. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio. The Evan Wood Fund is what they support today out there playing. So, yeah. Jeremy and Joe, good morning.
Got some goalie trivia if you want to get to that at some point. Owen celebrates, of course. Goalie trivia. Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. I'm into it. I'm into goalie trivia. 803-0550, Kevin Cole on his QB GOAT series. How high can Josh Allen go? What are the next steps? He dropped him in his latest rankings. Not like dropped him, but like took an album drop. All right, I'll stop. I'm sorry. Break time here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
NHL offseason upon us. Before we get to this quick goalie trivia, two notes from yesterday. There's a trade, Devils and Predators, you know. So hey, trade.
Have we mentioned what the trade was yet?
No, we can.
Eric Halla.
Yes, the trade was made.
Who I feel like has been traded 9 times in the NHL.
Yeah, a fourth-round pick and a defenseman for Eric Halla.
There you go.
Okay, so two things. One, Larry Brooks pointed out that the Rangers and Matt Rempe agree on a 2-year deal.
Okay.
For what is believed to be under $1 million per year.
Okay.
It removes, he writes, Rempe from an offer sheet possibility.
Oh, good Lord almighty.
Hold on. I saw this and thought, like, all right, I'm going for it. Let's see. So just to be clear, Matt Rempe signed for less than $1 million.
Yeah.
The offer sheet compensation up to $1.5 million is zero. There is no compensation.
Nothing.
You can sign as
you can sign
up to $1.54 million, and there is no compensation.
Yeah.
So, in this scenario, the Rangers avoided an offer sheet by paying him less than $1 million.
Yeah.
While any other team could have paid him 1.5 and gotten him for free, or the Rangers would have matched it. Anyway, no, Matt Rempe was not going to be getting an offer sheet.
That's hilarious.
Also, Sam Reinhart caught a Sabres jersey at elbow room and signed it, and then made a gesture.
Kind of threw it back.
He waved. If I mean,
in his defense, I think he had. I mean, it was late in the morning. They had been there for a while. Barkov was there with the cup at sunrise.
Barkov walked around his neighborhood ringing doorbells with the cup at 5 a.m.
Yeah. So Reinhart might have put a few back by the time he had and someone had thrown him the Sabres jersey.
Yeah, he caught it, and he did sign it, but then he. I mean, if I'm gesturing, he waved like, get that out of here. Get it out of here.
Yeah, kind of like,
Then he threw it back.
Yeah.
Like you would throw a jersey on the ice in Toronto.
Yes.
Or like you would throw
a home run
ball back at Wrigley, which they still do that? They used to do that.
I don't know.
All right. Very fast goalie trivia. 1 minute. Seven names. 1 minute. Owen's going to get this because it's goalie trivia.
Bobrovsky became the eighth goalie with multiple cups and a Vezina. Who are the other seven?
Let me try a couple, and then Owen, you can take over. Vasilevsky.
Yes.
Quick.
No.
All right. I'm out. Patrick Roy.
Yes.
Yeah. Brodeur.
Brodeur.
Yes.
Fleury.
Yes.
Fleury
won the Vezina with Vegas.
Yes. That was crazy. I could not believe that.
Yep.
Ken Dryden.
Oh, sorry. Post 81. Oh, okay. So, like, once they made the Vezina, like, the Vezina. Before, it was not really the Vezina.
Oh, man.
Three former Sabres on this list.
Three former Sabre goalies have won a Vezina in two cups?
Yes.
Tom Barrasso.
Hasek?
Yes. Yes.
Grant Fuhr?
Yes.
All right. How many we got left here now?
Did you get them all?
I don't know. I rattled
you
off
got
a few pretty quick.
You got
Brodeur,
you got Fleury, you got
Vasilevsky,
you got Fuhr, you got Barrasso. Did you get, you guys got Patrick Roy?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, then you got it.
Bang.
There you go. You got it in a minute. Three former Sabres.
Look at that.
Dryden would have been right, though.
Yeah, that was.
Had the Vezina been the Vezina back then, Dryden would have been right.
All right.
There you go.
Kevin Cole on the QB GOAT series. He is listed Josh Allen favorably, and we'll get to the methodology and talk about Allen's place in the history of the NFL at playing quarterback, of course, before he's done and where he can go from here. It's coming up here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.